In this week, on the 25th of March, 2016, Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, shocked AFC Wimbledon fans by deciding to call in the plans for a new stadium on Plough Lane. Club Chief Executive Eric Samuelson said, "I'm very disappointed. It's a decision to review the plans. It's not a decision to say no. We will represent our case strongly and clearly, and I still think it's an overwhelmingly positive case. We're planning and expecting that this delay is not a problem. We're always overcoming adversity. No matter what you throw at us, we're the same old Wombles. We're back."
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go.
Hello, hello, dear listener, and welcome to the show. My name is Matt Cooper, and today I'm joined by Dr. Adam Proctor. How you doing, Adam?
Well, I'm not feeling very well, which is annoying, but I'm just reminded of that when the application got called in, it was just like a heart-sinking moment. I wasn't here that time. I was like, I can't believe it. We're getting so far, and it seemed to make no sense why it had been called in at all, other than a bit of pressure from Sports England, I think, related to something to do with the front of the Greyhound Stadium, which was just a bit of a farce. But I mean, that, yeah, I think that was the one. I mean, there's a couple of other things that went on, wasn't there? But that's the one,
yeah,
I remember.
there was a few local residents and the Red Greyhound, all that sort of stuff. They called it in. It was just, but it was childish to do it. But it was Boris Johnson. We expect no less. Also pleased to be joined by the stat man himself, a man with the football knowledge. The guy who was at the meeting last night handing out donuts, by all accounts. It is tall Mark Lewis. Hello, sir. How are you?
No donuts were handed out at the meeting. I bought them on the way home to wake myself up, basically. But I'm very well. Thank you very much. Good evening. Good evening. Have we ever discussed the urban myth as to why Boris allegedly called that in?
Yeah, there was something, wasn't there something
The urban myth I heard from a couple of different sources was that there was a woman who worked in the canteen at the Greater London Authority who was a Greyhound fan, who was blonde and buxom, and I genuinely don't mean to be rude or sexist or entirely inappropriate at all, but that was the urban rumour, that she caught Boris's eye, I can't imagine why, and bent his ear hole and who knows what else, about the scenario. That's how he had heard about it, and that's what caused him to know about it, and then he chose to call it in, which only cost us about £1 million. So, you know, what's £1 million between friends, eh?
Mm. Yes, yes. Oh, I mean, I don't think we can accuse Boris Johnson of misogyny and sexism at all. It would all that sort of stuff would be alleged stuff, like the
Absolutely
alleged
right.
number of, like the alleged number of children that he might or might not have.
That's be like saying the current president of the US is an alleged insert,
yeah,
whatever you
that's
want.
That's right. We're not. Yeah. We've certainly not. Let's not go down this route, for goodness sake. We'll find ourselves cancelled by the right. Anyhow, it's all been fun and games over the last week. You know, it's been so. It feels like it's so much going on every week. There seems to be so much happening. And I wonder, do we want to go back and revisit the last couple of matches, the Orient match? I don't think, in person, I don't think I've seen a better first half of football. It was amazing. We were incredible. If we'd have been three or four up at half time, you know, you couldn't argue about that. Their goal was lucky and against the run of play, and then Nkeng was just incredible. So that was amazing. I guess we have to reflect on the second half, which was dismal, to say the least. And obviously Orient were going to make changes at half time, and they did, that were incredibly effective. But I don't think that we reacted to them at all. I think you could see incredibly quickly that we needed to make changes. Mark, what were your thoughts?
Oh, you've gone muted,
we
Mark.
We could hear Mark. He's muted him. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's happened to Mark. We could see his mouth moving, listeners, but we can't hear his voice. No. So, I mean, I think the most difficult thing really was, in actual fact, you had to be very, would have probably been to take off Nkeng. Would have been the most sensible choice in a way at that time. However, he was the attacking threat. So I think if he'd have been taken off, people would have gone, what the hell do you think you're doing? But the truth was, we probably needed someone like Asenway on in the second half to, you know, to counter it. I think would have been the thing to do.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why we didn't change things sooner when it started going a bit pear-shaped, you know, but it was just a bit weird, yeah. They clearly figured it out.
It went pear-shaped. It went pear-shaped really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, like it was literally within the first minute or so, you could just see that it was different. It would be an overran, and they, you know, they were marking Nkeng out of the game. So in the second half, he was almost ineffectual.
They scored in like 57 and then 48 and then 57, right?
Yeah.
That's when they kind of come back at us, and we don't make any changes until they score their next goal in the 70th minute. We're not changing anything until the 74th minute.
Yeah, so I think
score those goals and then we change.
And I think that is this is often been the complaint of Jackson, is that he doesn't make those changes. He sticks to what the plan is and doesn't make those changes, which is really, and I can understand why to a degree, but I think once it gets to 2-2, you need to make. I mean, I know Adam, you genuinely scream for subs at after half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I am interested because we've got our squad. They struggled to play the full 90 minutes, and when we stretch them out, then I think it gets more and more tight, and that's the classic game there where they score three goals before we've made a single sub. You know, it's crazy.
I know. It was a very difficult thing. It was a very difficult thing to. It was really annoying because we'd done so well in the first half to get 2-1 up, and then anyhow. It is what it is, and I know that they had some great players, but yeah, that thing about not making chances.
What,
but
it
then
is,
again, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. He's back.
Sorry, audio issues. It's not like I've just recorded another podcast with another Stockport fan, and that worked fine, but never mind. there's two simple things to say, and apologies if Adam's just said this while I was temporarily offline. Jackson doesn't react to other people's...
Yes, we know,
Not only that, Jackson doesn't actually sensibly, proactively look at the scenario. Orient came out flying. Within 5 minutes, they were level. Within 10 minutes, they were probably 3-2 up. I don't know that taking Nkeng off would have mattered, because that wasn't where the game was won or lost. The game was won and lost in the central midfield, where they'd brought a different player on. They also brought a centre back on, and we were still pumping long balls and so on. So Omar's effectiveness, unfortunately, was nullified, which had been a really beneficial thing, because it was Omar's flick on that set up Nkeng for the first goal. They completely nullified Nkeng by shifting other players over to double up on him. But actually, it's losing the ball in midfield. And actually, we'll come on to Peterborough in a bit, but I was slightly concerned. Generally speaking, I am slightly concerned. This front foot gung-ho attitude we've had in the last few weeks is great. It creates more chances. It's better to watch, but it also makes us much more open. And the issue with Orient was that he rested Maycock.
Yeah.
I guess he rested Maycock, because Maycock was absolutely amazing and alive and like a total Duracell bunny against Peterborough. But without Maycock in midfield, yes, Hippolyte is great, and we know that Smith is good too, But to me, it looked like one game too many for Hippolyte and for Smith. And potentially it was, as unfortunately Miles ended up, you know, being substituted off. We don't know what the scenario was injury-wise, but he didn't last the first half against Peterborough, did he? So we've been able to keep Maycock going, but as a result of that, we were completely outplayed in midfield. You know, people are like, "Oh my God, bringing Reeves on, totally killed our chances of momentum." But the game had already gone, and it was far too late to bring on subs at 14.
Yeah, exactly.
That's quite normal, unfortunately. Yeah,
I know that's the thing. I mean, it's almost like you needed to react as soon as they scored their equaliser. As soon as it went 2-2, you needed to react at that point because you could see already the picture that they were of what they were doing. I mean, I think if you bring Nkeng off because he was nullified at that point and put Asenwe on, and if you could put Maycock on who had been brilliant, then I think that might have been it. But I understand what he did Reeves because he wanted to solidify things. But by that point, it was too late. I mean, it almost needed to happen straight away when he saw what was going out in the second half. Anyhow, there's so much to talk about, chaps. Peterborough was a different situation. Again, we did make subs this time, Adam, but most of them were enforced. I think we made three subs through injury. So that was Hippolyte off. I know Brown was off. And who else?
Matt Stevens allegedly with a hamstring issue.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so, exactly. I haven't heard anything else, but normally when you hear nothing from Jackson, that means it's a long-term thing.
Yeah. And we're still waiting to see that guy, Leighton.
Leighton Stewart apparently on the pitch.
Yes.
And he was doing some fitness drills before the game, apparently it was Sasu. In fact, I know Sasu was, because Sasu walked past me as I walked up to the ground.
Yeah. And the thing about Tilly, who we do miss when he doesn't play... the thing about Tilly is that we hope to see him towards the end of the season, but we're not sure when that will be. But his presence, I mean, everything about him has made such a huge difference. And I think in actual fact, that's led us to being more gung-ho, as you've said, Mark. And it has been, the last few matches have been really enjoyable. It's almost like he's gone from, right, okay, we need to be tight and everything like that, make sure that we get to this, to the level we feel comfortable that we're going to be hopefully in this league next season, and then we just go for it.
But if you checked, for example, some of the social media for Orient fans at half-time, they were all screaming for their left-back to be taken off because Nkeng was making a mug of him. Yeah. And their left-back was one of the... I think he scored the third goal. Anyway, he scored the second or the third goal. He's the only, apart from Ballard, he's the only one that scored for them. And the fact that their left-back was comfortable enough, they clearly said to him, look, Nkeng is great, but the way you're going to force him to actually nullify his impact is by pushing him backwards. And if you look at the actual highlights of whichever goal the left-back scored, I think it's husband, he makes the run, and Nkeng goes nowhere near him, realises far too late that his man's gone streaking past him, and as the guy starts celebrating and Nkeng arrives in the 6-yard box. That's how far behind he was. So unfortunately, that's the risk you're taking with a wing-back who's not a wing-back, he's a winger.
Yeah, exactly. But Mark, I'd moved on to Peterborough, mate. I'd put that disappointment of the Orient game behind me and I moved on to what I felt was quite an upbeat sort of performance against Peterborough. I mean, I think that was...
After the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes.
I was concerned after 10 minutes that the same thing was going to happen as it did at Peterborough away.
Yeah.
And we were going to end up on our hiding.
I think we all went into that. I was talking to Niall, by the way, folks. Sorry, Niall can't be with us. He's up at the Fair Game Conference fixing football. But fear not, you will hear from him. But we went into that game thinking we were going to get hammered. So I was delighted. In actual fact, at the end of it, incredibly frustrated because, you know, we dominated that game. I mean, like, they were trying to give us goals. Alex Bass' goal for Peterborough was sort of like playing left back at one point.
What has happened to Alex Bass? There's actually a Peterborough podcast. There's the guy that wrote the article for the programme. It's called Up the Poshcast. And their podcast this week literally has a headline of what's happened to Alex Bass. Why was he just passing to Wimbledon players?
Yeah. He still loves us. He's got a fondness for us. But unfortunately, despite the fact he was doing all of that, and Adam, I've got to come to you on this because I don't even know what to say. He's your man. He's your man. And he gets past the ball. He gets past the ball literally in the 6 yard box. You know, like it's, and he fails.
On all the highlights I've seen, that doesn't seem to appear to be a highlight, so it can't have been that bad.
It genuinely was. Like, literally. I mean, Bass passes the ball to one of his two centre-backs, and then this centre-back doesn't look up. He just passes the ball across the penalty area, except the player he passes it to, bearing in mind Peter Boyle wearing white, and obviously we were wearing yellow and blue, was Omar. So Omar is on the 18-yard line, with no defenders in front of him, except the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And he basically passes the ball to the goalkeeper rather than actually shooting.
Oh. I mean, it was a head in your hand moment. We were all looking for you, Adam, at that particular point, because we felt that we were, you know, like, you're the person to blame in those situations.
Oh, so glad I wasn't there.
Oh man, it was. And then later on, I mean, again, N King was amazing. They didn't. I mean, he managed to get past his defender, and then right towards the end, a stunning shot from the edge of the box, which rebounded off the post. I mean, any other way, if it bounces straight out, it hits Bass and goes in. If it bounces to the other side towards the goal, it hits Bass and goes in, but it bounced the other way.
How many times has N King hit the post now? That's more than once, isn't it? Something going on.
Also hit the post in the first half with a header, which we couldn't really see until the second.
Oh my, what are we doing?
I know. It was just it should have been 3 points. So we were just it's amazing to see us play at the moment. And you know, I have no idea what on earth the score might be against Stockport, really, because we could get hammered. It could be dull as dishwater, or we could sneak it. Why? I wasn't here last week, and this is where it's gone wrong.
I didn't do any shout-outs at all.
The discipline has dropped off.
Oh.
What discipline?
My internet went off, so I probably missed that bit, so that's good. What was Mark? He wasn't shouting out someone, was he?
Oh, he's been shouted. He's going to say the C word. He's that close to saying the C word.
Well, listeners, you're not going to hear it because my internet did something weird and you guys are frozen. So whatever he said.
Anyway, I spoke to a Stockport man. He said that they have lost two of their main players. Their centre-back and their centre-forward are both injured. Whether or not that gives us any benefit, I don't know, because obviously Stockport would have a bigger squad than we would.
Yeah. But what we lack for in quantity, we make up in quality. And I think we've got a really good start in 11, I would say. If we're fully fit, we've got a very, very good start in 11 that can almost challenge anyone, I would suggest. It's the depth of the squad is tricky. But, hey, you know, things might change. Things could possibly change. You know, the depth of the squad might improve. Things could get better around the ground because it's happening, folks. It's happening. Oh my God. It's happening. It's happening. No matter what my brother thinks, although, you know, you can listen in here right now to what he's got to say about the vote going through.
So the vote's in and, well, you know, there it is. We're going to go to 50+1. Now for me, it was always important that the turnout is. Yeah, I mean, I was one of the few people that voted no, no surprise. And the reason for that is I wanted to, you know, the argument had been really persuasive and I wanted to sit on the fence and abstain, but that would have meant not counting towards the turnout. And I think for me, what was more important is that we made sure that the vote was valid and that it actually counted for something. You know, the worst thing would have been had we got under the turnout required and, you know, we had that. We didn't have a decision. We had a decision that was 75% in favour. So I'm weirdly happy. Yes, I didn't get the no vote, but you know, I was massively persuaded by the Don's Trust board. I think the Don's Trust board have done a fantastic job. I fully support the direction of travel, and they were really persuasive in their arguments. And had I the chance to abstain, I would have abstained. But for me, it was more important that the vote was legitimate and the turnout passed the threshold. So huge congrats to the team. Huge congrats to, you know, everybody that's involved in it. I think they've done a brilliant job, and here's hoping that we can build a bigger future and that we do get that investment in and we become that long-term sustainable club that we want to be and make sure that fan ownership is embedded and always exists. That's kind of where I'm at. I know there's a second vote, and what's key for that is that we need to get a momentum up I'll be voting yes on everything in the next time round. And what the key is, if we just get people voting, and we need to vote, we need to make sure this happens now. We've cleared that first threshold, and it needs to happen. So, yeah, I didn't, you know, no fail, but I kind of thought it would. What was important is that we got the vote through, and, you know, I wanted to abstain, couldn't. So congrats to everybody. Here's the rest of the team. Sorry, I can't make it today. I'm at the Fair Game Conference talking about Football for Good. There's a couple of Wimbledon fans here, so we've all been talking about the vote as well. So, you know, I'll update on all the Fair Game Conference at the next pod. But in the meantime, well done. Let's keep it going. Come on, you dons.
So, you know, I'm amazed. Do you know what I'm amazed about? Not that the fact it's, I mean, it was overwhelmingly people voted for. It was like 92% voted for. But it's the fact that over 4,549 people voted, which is amazing. So that's over 60% of the total membership voted. And I think we were really worried we wouldn't get up to that level. So it's brilliant that DTB did all the comms they could to get up to that, to get up to that level. Just fantastic turnout. It is brilliant. And, you know, just looking through all the votes, they all passed with like over 90%. Even though, I mean, I think people still some questions about, you know, the constitution, because I can guarantee you that of the 93.58% that voted for, I doubt many of them read it. You know, because these things are quite challenging. But anyhow, it's been amazing. But I really want to hear, Mark, from you, because you were in the room last night. What your sense was in the room, because I know that, I mean, it wasn't a busy night, I think, because most people had voted in advance, and I know that some people could join online, although there was tech difficulties. Mark, what was the feeling in the room?
The interesting thing was for me that the feeling in the room was very low key, actually, even though it's an extremely important vote. And that was fascinating for me, because there were people, I read a few comments here and there online on socials, that were thinking, why on earth and how on earth would I vote? On what basis would I vote previously? In other words, before the meeting, because I wouldn't have enough information. But again, the information that Don's Trust has put out, and the emails that were sent out, and the details that were published on the club website, and so on and so forth, were clearly, well, I mean, I didn't necessarily need to be convinced personally, but if I had needed to be convinced, the details on there were clear, were sensible, were in appropriate English and not waffle. And therefore, it was really quite straightforward as far as I could see, unless people had ideological differences or ideological reasons, as obviously other people, including Mr. Niall Cooper, do, for voting against. So therefore, in the room, there were a handful of questions about, you know, where the money's going to be spent, which I think were sensibly and fairly and transparently dealt with by Graham Price in particular from the DTB, because in simple terms, the money will be spent in conjunction with whoever the investor is. So if we have an investor that comes in and says, I want to boost up your academy, and I've got some potential opportunity to link with someone somewhere in the world, and that's my route of getting ROI, return on investment, on my particular investment in the club, because I believe that if I pump X, Y, and Z into the academy revenue-wise, then within a few years, we will produce the next Jack Rajani, the next Jack Carey, the next Ayuba Sal, and sell them on at a larger, high price, and we'll obviously be able to get that football fortune. Someone else might say, no, I'm a property investor, I'm a construction company, and I'm going to therefore help you with regards to turning one of your three inverted commas temporary stands into a permanent stand, which gives you that much more capacity, because we know that, you know, Orient or Peterborough or a lot of League One teams would have brought money more than 1,000 fans as an away team if they could do, and that obviously is additional revenue on a regular basis. So there's no way we know as fans, there's no way the club board know, or anyone associated with the club know yet exactly how and where that investment should go. So that question was asked, but that again shouldn't necessarily stop anyone from voting one way or the other. So there were a few questions in that regard. A few people grumbling, understandably, about the fact that the resources we have right now are such that we couldn't afford to have someone like Tilly on a permanent basis, and we lost out to Wickham, who obviously are, well, much better resourced than we are, but not necessarily in the, you know, the ballparks of the teams in South Wales or the teams in North West, for example. They didn't mention it.
Oh,
paying attention.
Dear me.
And as a result of that, you know, I mean, there were fewer than 50 people voting in the room. And therefore, I think the votes in the room were like 39 in favour, one against, or 38 in favour, two against, that type of differential, yeah. Really. So it really wasn't, it wasn't controversial. It wasn't sort of tetchy or anything like that, which I think possibly the DTB members may have expected it to be. I thought individually, and obviously I know we know a number of the DTB members ourselves personally, as a lot of fans and listeners to the pod will do as well, but they all spoke well, they all spoke sensibly. I thought it was very interesting, for example, someone like Hannah Kitcher, who's been on the board for some time, had said that she chose, when it last came up, to vote against, and this time she voted for. And she voted for not because it's a desperate last stakes thing, but because she was persuaded by seeing the information, seeing the details, seeing the finances and so on, that this is the best route forward for the club. So that sounds sensible, and that sounds like a reasoned argument.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, it did just feel quite positive. And I think the other thing to say is that, you know, there are other resources. So if money goes into, you know, the academy, for instance, or into a stand, for instance, that means that we can, you know, have the other money that comes in can be used for the first team squad or for other developments. So, you know, it's how that works. Also, the other thing that she's really important to say is that this isn't going to happen tomorrow. You know, there's a whole, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of conversations with potential investors, which will take some time. There'll be a whole lot of due diligence that has to go, that has to be put in place. And then, you know, a preferred bidder, for instance, would have to be presented to the DTB for us to vote on whether we want to go with that or not. And it might be that potentially there would be a few people that come to us and we get to choose who we want to go with, possibly.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if we're talking... I'd be surprised if we don't have more than one company, more than one business, more than one individual, whoever, that is interested and has appropriate funds. However, I'd also be surprised, because you talk about and you hear about this type of thing when it's about takeovers, and I know we're not a takeover, but you hear this when there's takeovers, whether or not these people might want exclusivity. In other words, they want to be the only people.
Yeah.
And you may then say, okay, fine, then the DTB would weigh this up alongside the PLC and say, okay, well, we think that option A is the best one because of X, Y, Z, and then they bring that to us as members. And again, that would be a restricted action, so we'd have to do the same thing. We'd have to get the appropriate
number of people voting
last night achieved again.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, I'm sure the Don's Trust board will bring us their preferred investor after some due diligence, etc. I know that a couple of things that were interesting. I mean, I tried to listen to the meeting online, which was basically a disaster. You couldn't really follow it, and it gave me a headache. No. But I sort of stayed on as much as I could. But yeah, I think a lot of people just switched off. I'd already voted, so it wasn't a big deal. But I wanted to hear the people in the room, because I knew the people in the room would be the most vocal about this and have some very specifics, which is cool. But yeah, I think they said something like it'd probably be, you know, for the league to do sort of due diligence stuff is 6 weeks on its own. You know, so there's a chunk of time, and I think people obviously were raising that they were concerned about how quickly do we need these kind of investments, and of course. We actually, I mean, I don't know all the details off the top of my head, but I know from the financing, we have a bit of a runway. So we have some time to make these things happen. And sure, the graphs were going in the wrong direction, but it's not like the graphs are plummeting in the wrong direction. They are slowly, and we are a bit behind this because we wanted to kind of maybe get this in earlier, but, you know. And then the other thing that I thought was really interesting that I heard was that the Plough Lane is in the company, which is the Wider Interests company. Can't remember exactly what it's called.
Wider Interests Football. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a subsidiary of AFC Wimbledon PLC. And the badge and the name and the crest, all that kind of stuff, is also, I don't know if they said it was a separate company again, but also either a subsidiary or connected directly to AFC Wimbledon PLC. So that the person there, I can't remember the name, sorry, but it was a really great question, which was
it
like
was Peter Bowles.
Yeah, cool.
So he was an ex-Wizard member and is a very sensible, level-headed guy.
So it's a great question asking if the Don's Trust would basically recommend that they move those assets under effectively the Don's Trust or another entity that's controlled directly by the Don's Trust rather than controlled by AFC or the PLC. So it would either be another entity that's a community interest business that might then be controlled by the Don's Trust board, just so that we've got the stadium and all of the history and the badge and the name completely under our control. And they said that they agreed that they would move forward with that. So that was, you know,
I think
positive.
I think that's one of the things that would definitely happen. I mean, we are going to put everything we can in place to secure most important things, which is Plan A, the colours, the pageantry, all that sort of stuff. That will definitely happen. The other thing I'm hearing is that, you know, if we get someone else in place, not only all the due diligence that has to go around that, there's the whole thing around the owners and directors test. So people will have to do that as well, which can take months. So we're not talking, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you start to hear things coming out over the next few weeks and months, but it's going to be a long process before we start to get anyone in place. And the other thing to say is that, you know, we've got our ideas, you know, about what we'd like for the club. But, you know, it's a negotiation. So we're probably not going to get all the things that we want to get, but it's exciting. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited by the prospect. You know, we're still going to remain fan owned. So, which is all very good. Excellent.
What I like is a lot of people from the fans, different podcasts, different opinions, different socials, whatever, have understandably completely different views depending on how they come in and so on and so forth. But in the last days or so, running up to the vote and today in terms of their reactions to the vote on socials, there's been almost universal, with notable exceptions, understandably, because of they were not in favour beforehand, so this isn't going to change that, unless they're denial. They've said, yeah, great, let's get behind it, let's get on with it. This is the sane, sensible decision to do. So, no problem at all.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think we've done it. Obviously, you know, we've met those thresholds. I honestly think this is our route to sustainable fan-owned football, and we are now starting that journey. Obviously, we've got to do the second vote, which is Wednesday, April the 8th. This also needs 50% turnout of the total membership, and the same needs a 2/3 majority of votes cast, which is like 66%. So we were obviously way over that last, so we should be fine. But again, everyone needs to remember they have to vote in the second round.
My sense would be, though, that a lot of people have voted already, because in that initial online vote that went out, you could vote for both. You could vote for the first thing and for the second, and I think most people would have done that. So I have a feeling the numbers are already there, you know, because you could lose
I know a few people who didn't vote and couldn't figure it out, and then they had some they were, you know, so they might want to check for the second email if they haven't already done.
And there were like 100 or so abstentions. Maybe those abstentions were waiting to see and hear what the scenario was, what the led.
So I think probably a lot of people have voted already. Don't be flippant about it, for goodness sake, people out there. Vote.
Check your emails.
make sure you voted. And I think my understanding is in this one, you can abstain and your vote gets counted. Towards the turnout is my understanding. Whereas it didn't in the first round, you had to vote yes or no, and abstention was like not being in the room. So, but in the second round, you can vote to abstain if you so wish. And I'm directing this directly at Niall, because I'm sure that's what he wanted to do. He was saying he wanted to sit on the fence. So,
listener, if you listen to Niall's voice, no, he'll already indicate what he's decided to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, sit on the fence. No matter, I think basically a lot of that is to do with the fact that Crumble hasn't arrived in the ground yet. There's no, he's still can't get his hands on orange juice, so he's making a stand. That's where it is.
You can get your hands on orange juice because I had an orange juice lemonade last night.
Yeah, but yeah, you're in the lounge. You're in the lounge, not in the bars downstairs.
Oh, I'm sure down in by the Horns or whatever it's called nowadays. You know, the Phoenix.
No, I don't. I don't think. Well, anyhow, there's no Crumble. And there were churros last time, no donuts, which you know, it's interesting because, you know, I think we've got some interesting decisions that are going to be made about our
awards. Left middle class.
About our awards, yeah, cool, exactly. About our, of course, that's the way that it works.
Well, I thought I'd do a bit of due diligence for us. They asked Claude, who is the biggest Apple Crumble supplier? And Claude said, that question is pretty niche.
Do you know what? So, I really hope that there is a Frenchman sitting in your lounge somewhere who you're talking to.
His name's Claude.
Yes. That's my personally what I hope. But
I tell you, I'm so humble that I didn't even know that Humble Crumble was an actual thing until I saw the news clip the other day with old William and
that's right.
Kathy.
Yeah, Niles
and Rocky, you see. So Niles needs to hang out in more down-to-earth places in South London, you know.
Niles a majority stakeholder of Humble Crumble. That's what keeps on banging on about.
That's what's
it.
Going on.
That's why he's got so little money.
Yeah. Exactly. That's his thing. Oh, dear me. I just think one of the things which is difficult with all the food options and stuff like that, and I'm desperately trying to remember our awards, is it does make our awards quite difficult. So I want to be very clear on this. We have the Harry Pell Award, which is like for shithousery, basically. We have the Sort It Out Jackson Award, which is for best sub. We have
that's up for grabs for sure.
Yep, definitely. And we've got the Who Ate All the Pies. And then we have another one. Oh, Club Person of the Year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so I think all of these are kind of like, it'd be interesting to hear from our listener about who they would nominate in these things. Because I don't, have we seen any particular shithousery this year?
Well, I mean, things like the little cheeky back heel by Brown to set up that goal for makeup against Northampton, that was kind of shithousery. But I know what you mean. Shithousery really is just taking the piss of the defenders or the opposition team. Whereas, you know, Orient, to hark back to 10 days or so ago, Orient fans were singing, "We're Orient, we're taking the piss," which they were second half. So I'd like us to put someone to the sword in the last few games of the season. But looking at the fixed list, I'm really not sure. No.
I know. I do worry about that. I mean,
it might get a bit more fun towards the end of the season if we're not so worried about stuff. People might start doing some fun things.
I'm just trying to think if there's been any particular bits of real shithousery that have gone. So if anyone's got any, then please let us know. The Sort It Out Jackson Award for best sub. I think again that's gonna, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens there. And as for the Who Ate All the Pies, I mean, you know, have you got a food preference, Adam?
The pizza people did a vegan pizza, which I really liked, which that's new. And then one of the other ones has started doing a vegan thing, which I really liked. So I think next time I'm at the ground, I need to just make a list of all the vegan ones because they're the only ones I'm going to pick.
My daughter has turned vegan in her time at university. She's coming back for Easter holidays. So she'll be at a couple of games over Easter and like into early April. So she'll be checking out Easter options, vegan options with you as well, Adam.
Great. Yeah, well, I recommend the pizza. I thought it was very good.
Well, you know, it's a women because they've been around for a while now. They've been a go-to. They've been a staple of our time. So Doshak, I think, could be in with a big shout this year for getting the coveted Samuel Wombles mug.
And they're so popular, you know. I literally queued for like 5 minutes before the Orient game and got in about 5 minutes off the kickoff because they were really, really popular still. But they were also fresh and, you know, really tasty. So
and reasonable. So there you are. Yeah. We don't have shares in them like Niall in
unfortunately.
No. So then the other big thing that's happened over the last few days is the quiz, Adam. The pub quiz.
Yeah, so I couldn't make it.
I was
literally working all weekend, frustratingly. But I know that one of us definitely did make it. And so yeah, the We Are Wimbledon quiz, We Are Wimbledon Fund quiz seemed to go very well from what I saw. Quite a stack of money raised again, and it sounded to me that actually there's quite a lot of new faces that were at this time's quiz.
There were, yeah. I mean, actually, I put a shout out obviously to Adam, to Jude, and to Dubes, Graham Stacey, and everybody else who was involved. I know Sammy Mack did a recorded some music round things as well. So, for fair play to all you guys putting it all together. The really frustrating thing, of course, is that there were no trains running at all through Wimbledon. In through Earlsfield or through Clapham, which meant that they actually ran it really quite quickly and finished it by about 9:30, which is a little earlier than normal. But Mick Scores on the Doors was fabulous about it as well. But it also meant that certain people who'd been there previously, so we complained about the fix with the Don's Trust Board winning it last time. This time there was actually only one representative from the Don's Trust Board, namely Angus.
Wow.
And we couldn't get a team together ourselves, so I ended up joining Angus's team. So it was myself, Angus, and his wife and their daughter. And we did pretty well, actually. But here's a question. I'll throw in one question from the quiz for you to see whether you get it.
Yep.
It's a simple true or false, right?
Yep.
True or false, the derivation of the word gypsy, which obviously people don't really use anymore for understandable reasons, but the derivation of the word gypsy comes from Egypt.
False.
Yeah, I mean, I would be inclined to go false, but
yeah,
because,
so would
because
I,
it's
right?
because and it's so because it's so because it's that's such a loaded thing, I've got to go true.
Well, this is the thing. I was inclined to go false, as were loads of people. This was on the last wipeout round, where basically, if you get one answer wrong out of however many you answer, then all your answers are zero. Whereas we answered 9 and got 8 right, but the one we got wrong was that, because apparently the answer is true, which I think is baloney.
Okay, so what you're trying to say is that you would have won the quiz, but you insisted on saying false to that. You wiped out all of those 9 points that would have taken you top of the table, and you would have been the winner of the quiz.
Actually, it was double points in the last round, so we would have finished second, to be fair.
Okay.
We were ahead for most of the thing.
Oh, Mark.
But because the team was like
that's
me,
typical Wimbledon style. That is perfect Wimbledon. That's a perfect Wimbledon style. Ahead for most of it until the last 10 minutes.
Right, right.
Love it.
It was frustrating.
No, it sounds cool. The one thing I have heard, just this is an exclusive, is in, all being well, we believe that Sammy Mack's tunes from the day, we're going to try and get them online somewhere so people can listen to them as well. So even if you missed the quiz, because I've heard them and they're all amazing. Yeah.
They are all amazing. And there were these songs like, there's a song for Sassy that I've never heard. And there's an actual song called Short Shorts, which I've also never heard, which wasn't, you know, the Joe Lewis Bread of Heaven chant, but it's actually called Short Short, and it's like from 1953 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a cool song.
What that? Do you like short shorts? Me like short shorts.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not 1953, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. It's good. And there's also another thing that the Wimbledon Fund doing, aren't they? They're doing a match on the pitch.
They are doing a match on the pitch where you can bid for your own places. And I'm expecting, obviously, Cooper Jr. and Cooper Sr. to be represented there. Especially as they are A, younger, and B, six stone lighter than me.
I can't move. I'm part of the Wish team that takes on the Whopper in a 5-a-side match on the 12th of April. So you can come down and see.
I'm slightly concerned. I said yes to that as well. Did I say yes to that?
You probably did say yes to that. So come along a bit. You're a Wish rep. me, you, and Niall. So the same old Wombles will be represented as we play against. Like people like Andy Sullivan and Keith Ward and such like. So anyhow, you can get down and see some of the old guys beat some older guys. Yeah. It's what we are.
Yeah, the We Are Wimbledon. It's called the We Are Wimbledon Fun Cup 2026. So it's on. Let me just see. 31st of May. It's like most like from 9 o'clock till midday. And the cool thing is that you get an average of around 60 minutes game time. As a player, so yeah, there's some subbing.
Wow, that feels Yeah, that feels like a lot of time on the pitch.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Have you seen that pitch? Oh, that is brilliant.
That's what I was thinking. I think, wow.
That is so awesome. Yeah. Anyhow, so the other little bits of news just to throw out there. Foyo has gone out on loan to Yeovil. And my understanding is he had a couple of assists in his first
game. I love the fact that Foyo's been on loan at Sutton for about a month. And you've confused Foyo with Delano McCoy
Splatt. Yes, you're right.
I was wondering what was going on.
Yeah,
there.
That's because Foyo's been on loan. I was writing this very quickly. Foyo's been on loan at Sutton. McCoy Splatt has been. It's just a great name, isn't it? Splatt, it's fantastic. Cool. Anyhow, he's been
that
over
came through Terry Skiverton's connections.
Yeah,
because obviously he used to be coach and manager at Yeovil.
Yeah, McCoy Splatt, apologies, has been on loan at Yeovil and has made a couple of assists. I knew this. Foyer's been scoring goals at Sutton, which is good, and as Kai Jennings as well. So, and I think they're moving away from the bottom of the conference, if I remember rightly.
Both Sutton, where Jennings and Foyer are, and also Aldershot, where Will Nightingale are. Are steadily, not particularly spectacularly, but steadily moving away from the bottom of the conference. As are Woking, after they sacked Neil Ardley, they've won four and drawn two out of the last six games.
Neil Ardley. Anyhow, listen, if I don't make at least one mistake an episode, then, you know, we're doing this show wrong.
Can I throw some stats your way?
Oh, mate, come on, chuck them in.
So our friend, the PPG Profit, we're all obviously still kind of looking over our shoulder a little bit.
Yeah, we are, totally. Whatever, right? We never stop that.
I'd like to copyright the fact that I called Exeter about 3 weeks ago, if not earlier than that, and they are plummeting like an absolute stone. Now, our friend, the PPG Profit, who we've been using a few weeks, and it literally updates after every single game, it's predicting we'll finish 13th with 61 points. Above Mansfield, Orient, Peterborough, Doncaster, Wigan, Burton and Blackpool. And it's bottom four from last place upwards. Northampton with 39, Port Vale with 40, Rotherham with 42 and Exeter with 47. And obviously, if that is accurate, then mathematically we're already safe. But I'm not counting the chickens. Yeah.
No, I don't think anyone's counting chickens because I think sites on 50 points have gone down. So, yeah, we need. I mean, 61 points would be amazing. I'd take that now. I mean, I know that the aim now is to get more points than we did last to finish higher up the league. You know, I think we need to beat 57 points.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, no, that's exciting.
Maybe what we need to do is rope in the AFC Wimbledon Academy under 12s, who were this week actually confirmed and crowned as EFL futsal champions at under 12s.
Our academy teams are doing fantastic. I think they're in, are they top of the league? And in both cups, they've been doing incredibly well. So
the under 18s are, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible. So I think we've got such a reputation now for our academy. People are coming through because they can see a pathway into the first team, which is fantastic. And also the other thing is that it feels like other clubs around the country sniff out some of our better players because, you know, some of them don't even get anywhere near our first team and get picked up and gone here, there and everywhere.
And for those reasons alone, we are obviously keeping an eye on Oxford in the Championship and Coventry in the Championship to see what potential. No names mentioned, no clauses mentioned.
Yeah. Well,
you may be coming our way.
Yeah, but I think we'll hope Coventry go up would be financially beneficial to us.
100%. Yeah. As long as Rudoni gets fit again and plays another few more games.
Yeah. Well, I think he's done. I think he's got the number of games already that's needed. Anyhow, that's great. Unfortunately for us, the sad news is the women's team. They suffered a heartbreaking draw. I think they were two up away at Cheltenham, and it was
with 9 minutes left.
Yeah, and Drew.
But that table is really, really tight.
Yeah,
I've got it somewhere. But I think they've got three games left, two or three games left.
Yeah, and at the moment they're in the bottom. They're in the bottom two, so in their relegation places. So need to.
But the two games they have left, one is against Billericay, who are Absolute bottom feeders.
Rock bottom, yep, totally.
And the other one, I can't find it. The other one is against a team who are literally a point or two ahead of them.
Yeah. So, anyhow, you know, let's hope we can get out of that, because it is. I mean, we spoke to Ashley Hinks last year, and I know that she was saying it's, you know, that the funds that we've got for that team, you know, even to be in that league, we're going above and beyond. So it's, you know, it's difficult on the resources that we have. But like I say, this could all change over the next 18 months. We're going to be hearing lots of rumours.
Well, that, I think, the other is thing, one of the negotiations that are going on. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and here the other, we are 1 point behind Gwalior, who we lost heavily to a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the whole of Wales.
We've got to play hashtag, and hashtag are 1 point above us.
Yep.
And Cheltenham, we have a game in hand on, and we're only 3 points behind them. And it was Cheltenham that we drew 2-2 with.
Yeah.
Cheltenham have a similar goal difference. In fact, they have a minus 19 goal difference. We have a minus 16 goal difference. So Cheltenham in 8th on 21, hashtag in 9th on 19, Gwalior in 10th on 19, and we're 11th on 18, and 11th and 12th go down. So still in there with a fighting chance.
Yeah. Come on, you Dons. The other thing to say is there's been a ticketing update. So Dons Tix has been quite successful, and one of the things is how easy it is to return things back to the club for them to be sold on. So, which has meant that our average league attendance has increased by about 400 people per game, which is fantastic. So by just returning the tickets and selling them on has been brill. Also, when it comes to paying by direct debit, you can pay, you can now pay on your debit card, and you can pay over 3, 6, or 9 months. So there's options about how you can pay if you're wanting to pay in instalments.
And you can pay in arrears if you've really got the money.
Yeah, and so, yeah, obviously you've got the money, you can pay. There's the early bird scheme, which ends on the 2nd of April, and the new thing, the payment plan, opens on the 3rd of April. So if you've got the money, you know, get your ticket before the 2nd of April and you get an early bird scheme. And then there's also going to be a loyalty scheme. I'm not sure what you get. If it's like Nectar points, something like that, you can, you know, collect the points and save money on a beer.
The loyalty thing is a great thing because a lot of clubs have it, obviously, when you have, you know, your Liverpools who
big
have
8,000
season ticket holders and so on, and only 2,000 are away at certain away games. But there are a bunch of guys, primarily guys, who go to, you know, your Accrington Stanleys and the equivalent on a Tuesday night in the middle of November, who would have gone to Exeter and seen us abjectly lose when half the team had flu and were throwing up earlier in the season. And they deserve some type of
reward,
response and loyalty and points and so on, if at all possible. So fair play to Luke and his team there for putting something like that together.
It sounds fantastic. I mean, I still think you should be able to get points off to get free beers or, you know, I don't know, a crunchy or something over a period of time or some crumble.
The bars are available.
Well, not the club necessarily.
No, there's no other crunchy bars. That's not even true.
No, they don't have crunchy bars. It's not the East Mars bars, Mars bars and Kit Kats. Hey, get crunchy bars in. and I've just seen today, I mean, you know, this is low-level news, really. You know, I don't even know if I want to say, but I understand that estate agents, Chesterfield Gordon, are sponsoring the 1889 Lounge. So I don't know if it's going to be called the Chesterfield Gordon Lounge or the 1889 Lounge, sponsored by Chesterfield Gordon.
I was there last night, and it says the 1889 Lounge as sponsored by. Two separate things.
Yeah. So anyhow, I mean, you know, hey, I remember once going to I think it was Sheffield United away, and I'm pretty sure that they were sponsoring half time. So as you came off the pitch, there was just like, or there was like, you know, this substitution is brought to you by should we flip it?
They definitely do that while they sponsored some.
Yeah, which is still making it, so you know.
You know, it's incredible. But still, gang, we're not selling out. The same old Wombles, we're staying true to ourselves. We're not selling out. No sponsors, no matter how much they knock on our door wanting to sponsor our show, we're not selling out. You know, obviously we get a lot of interest all the time, people wanted to get involved with the same old Wombles.
Of course we do, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I throw in two more stats, finally, in wrap-up?
Right. We can end with two more stats.
Okay. With Ryan Johnson scoring, he's now scored, scoring against Peterborough, he's now scored 4 goals, which makes him the top goal-scoring centre-back in League One.
Yep.
Fantastic. And Seds somehow has been credited with the assist for that because his corner bounced off about 4 players on the way to Johnson. And he now, apparently, based on chances created, Steve Seddon is now second in the whole of Sky Bet League One, only to Oliver Norwood, who unfortunately plays for Stockport County and scored a peach of a free kick last weekend. But Seddon is second in, out of the whole of League One, which is fabulous when you've got people like Ronan Curtis, who you might have heard of, is third. Power of Bradford City is in there at fifth. And there's even one player from that team in Wales who's down in ninth.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I love the fact that you've had to go all the way down to ninth to mention the team in Wales. It's crazy. Right then, chaps, it's all go. It's all go like it is every week with the Super Wombles. We are the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. Under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth if we win or